So I feel like we need to at least do one day in Bechukotai. We sort of got caught up in Bahar, which is fine. I like Bahar. It was fascinating. I did things I knew. I did new things that I hadn't ever really thought of in depth. But something in Bechukotai. I'm pretty sure last year we spent one day talking about the first pasuk and the Rashi, because, you know, that's like the classic thing to do, which is in Bechukotai Telechu. That means you should be Amelim Batara. I'm pretty sure we did that because you always have to do that. I don't think we did this last year, so I hope not. But it is a big problem in the parasha. And that is the following. In the Tosafot, God says, what is going to happen if you don't listen to me? V'im ad ela lo tishma. Right, he goes through, you won't listen to me, you'll punish me. And then at some point he says, V'im ad ela lo tishma uli. And if you don't listen to me this much, what am I going to do to you? I will punish you 7 times what you did. Now that obviously creates a tremendous amount of problems because, right? Yeah, like what is that, right? If you're bad, then I will punish you. You just say, the worse you are, the more you deserve punishment, the worse it'll be. Not, and if you go more, then I will punish you 7 times what you deserve. You get this elsewhere in Tanakh, right? Yeshayahu says that Hashem will punish had punished Yerushalayim kiflayim mikol chatoteha, which I guess is better, only twofold instead of sevenfold, but still, you know, it's not good. It's not great, and it raises a lot of problems that this raises. What? Yeah, and then if you only deserve one, I mean, God, I guess, could somehow come up with a way of, you know, doing that. So the question is, how do you really deal with this? So this is the summary that I was looking at last night from Al Hatera. But I think it's a really important question. So logically, right, how could you take it, right? Right. How could you solve this seeming problem of it being unfair?
It's not
good. So right, the easiest approach at a certain level is to just say, you know, it's not what it sounds like, right? It's not what it sounds like. So you could just say, right, either that, yeah, I mean, look, it's exaggerated to frighten people into obedience, but it doesn't really mean they're going to punish them seven times. And seven may just be that, right, seven throughout Tanakh is often a symbolic number of a lot, right? I'll punish you sevenfold, right? Or, right, so you either go the direction that it's exaggerated, right, but it... right, to scare them, but it's not really. Or if you really wanted to be, there's another way, and this is the Akedah Yitzchak and the Bar Avanel, and they say it's not 7 times what they deserve, it's 7 times as bad as they were punished previously when they weren't as bad, right? Meaning, right, Sheva al-Hadadachem doesn't really mean 7 for these sins, it's 7 more than you were punished for the previous sins.
Meaning it's actually mercy.
No, it's just saying you got worse. Right, your old sins, you were punished, right, and now you've gotten worse, so I'm going to punish you more, right? Not 7 times what you deserve now, 7 times what you had been punished in the past for your lesser sins.
But if you were punished 7 times what you were punished for now, versus 7 times for sins back then.
Well, presumably you got worse, right? That's the whole puzzle.
It's definitely worse than back then. Correct. It definitely wouldn't be as bad as 7 now.
Right? No. Meaning. 7 times doesn't mean 7 times what you deserve. It just means that since you've gotten worse, you're getting punished more than you were punished before. Because before you were X bad, and now you're X times 7 bad.
Right.
So now you get punished X times 7.
Right.
Right. Okay. Okay. You can try one more time.
Right. Now we're saying, you know, God says the punishment of 7, meaning to multiply the punishment of the sins in
Right.
Not that Jews are bad, meaning that they have a lot more sin. If they would be punished 7 times for what they're doing now, it would be.
Correct. But he's not right. Meaning, this approach says that 7 times doesn't mean 7 times what you deserve now. It means 7 times what you've experienced in the past,
right,
which is in accordance with justice, because you're 7 times worse.
Which is why I'm saying it's mercy.
But it's not mercy. It's not really mercy. It's justice, right? What drives this approach is justice. Is when you're right, the worse you get, the more you're punished, right? So if you get worse, then I'll punish you even more. The reason they punish you less in the past is not mercy. It's because you deserve less. Now, the last approach, right, solves it may not be the greatest textual approach, but obviously it solves a lot of theological issues. If you think it's exaggeration, so it solves some of the theological issues, but it raises some other ones, like, does God really do that, right? Does God really, like, provide empty threats and exaggeration, right? You have to assume that he does, but both of these answers mostly solve the theological problems, except maybe certain things about how God communicates with man. It also doesn't raise any problems of theodicy, per se, right? Meaning, because God is being just, and bad people are getting what they deserve, good people are getting what they deserve. However, there are those mefarshim who say, no, shevach ador dechem is exactly what it sounds like, right? You're punished more than you deserve. Now that creates, so it solves the problem that God is lying. He's not lying or exaggerating. He's being totally literal, right? It creates all sorts of other theological problems, which is, how does God do that? He can't punish you more than you deserve. So there are some clever approaches here. So the Kli Yakar says, it can't mean directly that God is going to punish them 7 times, right? That can't be, right? Because that's not fair. But what he can do is God can say, at some point, I'm going to leave you up to the forces of nature, and that will just be really bad, because nature has no mercy. So that's how he takes it. He says, "Sha'arach shavadayin lo azavti etchem lemikrim." He has a very, in general, strong view of divine providence, meaning that God is always controlling things, right? Right. He has a very, right, certain mefarshim think God is more actively involved in the world than others. The Kli Yakar thinks in general God is very actively involved. Because he thinks that normally things run very, very justly, because God is very, very directly involved in the world. But at some point, God, as a punishment, removes his divine providence and lets you live in a godless world, and godless worlds are worse. Yeah, like he won't let them be destroyed, but he does say he'll abandon them here, right? He's essentially abandoning them to nature, or that's how he understands it, right? He doesn't abandon them to the point where they get destroyed, but he's abandoning them to the point where they suffer miserably. Yeah. So that's the Kli Yakar solution, is that yes, they're going to be punished more than they deserve, but because the punishment really was God sort of pulling back and then just letting things happen. Alternatively, you go in the free will direction, which is to say, God never punishes us more than we deserve, but if he gives over to the enemies, right, the way we find, like, many of the mefarshim say in Mitzrayim, right, why are the Egyptians punished? Didn't God say we were going to be slaves? The answer is yes, but they still went above and beyond. Why did God let that happen? Because there's free will, right? Meaning, at some point, yeah, God actually doesn't micromanage, right? Kli Yakar's approach is that it's because he leaves us to nature. Shadal quotes an opinion that it's because he gives us to enemies, right? But then there's a certain level of right free will, and once that happens, so they do what they do, and that could be really bad. Now, how does this deal with the theological problems? From the Kli Yakar, right, he says, look, right, his solution basically is, yeah, Most of the time, God is just. And one of the punishments in God's arsenal is to pull himself back. And therefore, sometimes when you see things that don't seem to be fair, it's true in a localized sense that maybe that's not exactly what you deserve, but you might have deserved to be put in that situation where, right, the world is chaos. Of course, at some level, you could, right, Shaddal is almost the opposite, right, that there are certain types of punishments that God delivers that by their nature are more extreme, like giving over to human beings or whatever, right? You could say this about other forces as well, but definitely in the context of human beings. Then you have to deal with the question, okay, well, once you are punished with more than what you deserve, does God ever make that up to you, as it were? Right? So some of Farshim, and you find this a lot in some of the medieval literature about how you deal with the Odyssey, say, yeah, if things happen in this world that you don't really deserve, God will make it up to you in the world to come. But on the Kliyakar's approach, you probably wouldn't go in that direction, right? You'd say no, right? Meaning the whole point here is that God has left you up to nature. Like, this is chaos. That's why you're suffering. God's not going to make it up to you. Your punishment was to be left up to chaos. And then you just have to deal with it. There is another approach, which is very also problematic, but appears in several of the Mefarshim, which is that maybe when the Torah says you're being punished more than you deserve, that's because God is in this case allowing for you to be punished for your parents' sins, right? Which creates a whole other set of theological issues, which is there is desserts here, which is not your desserts, right? Sometimes you inherit the punishment from your parents, which obviously creates a problem. This, I think, we have talked about in the past, why that could ever be just. The Rabag says that it's sort of collateral damage, right? Like in my last note, sometimes bad things happen because you made bad decisions, right? That happens. Others suggest that no, the reason you punish kids is because even if they are personally aren't responsible, they are more mired in sin, right? Like a third, fourth generation mobster, right? It's like this is all they know, and like it's going to take more to rehabilitate them and extract them, even if it's not their fault per se. Forget it. I was going to say stop the cat from coming in the window, but it jumped down instead. Kasuto says, no, the whole point here is that Jews are viewed as one body, and therefore at some level it really is just. Again, all these have theological problems, but I just sort of want to outline it. Then there is sort of another, I'm not really sure how this works. It's somewhat of a cop-out, but it appears in a lot of the Midrashim and in Rashi, which is that sevenfold actually means that not sevenfold for what you deserve, but that your sin, while it looks X bad, is much worse than it seems. Like you're being punished exactly what you deserve. By God saying that you're punished seven times, what he's saying is your sin, which looks minor or relatively minor, is really egregious, either because for the Ralbag that you are a repeat offender or whatever you want to do. But those are just sort of broadly speaking the approaches, right? One is to say it's not literal, right? But then you have to deal with the question, why isn't God being literal? You could say it's just saying it's seven times what you used to be punished, right? Or you could say that what God is doing here is saying your crime is worse than it seems, and that's why the punishment is just. Or you have to justify in some way why it's legitimate for God to punish you more than you deserve, quote unquote, either by leaving you up to the forces of nature or leaving you up to enemies. And then you got to figure out, does God ever make it up to you, which depends on exactly how you balance the Odyssey, right? Punishment, reward, world to come, this world, and all that stuff. However you're going to take it, it really does require the theological investigation, which is why it's important to at least open the questions. Okay?